Proverbs chapter 3. I want to read to you guys probably some of the most familiar verses that you've ever read. Probably a huge percentage of you guys can quote these verses I'm about to read. You probably have a mug in your cupboard at home with these verses on it, or something embroidered or something. Not embroidered, but what do you call that stuff when you put it on your wall? Yeah, that stuff, cross-stitched or something. But here's what I'm asking, that as we read this, you would let the Lord speak it afresh to your heart. That it would be like the first time we're hearing it. Because I really believe the Lord wants to speak to us, just like we sang earlier. So I'm going to read it out loud. Please follow with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Lord, even as I just got done saying, these are such familiar verses. And yet it's funny how sometimes the verses we quote unquote know the best are the ones we do the least. And what I'm asking for, Lord, is just a fresh understanding, yes, but also grace to be doers of what this word says to us this morning. Lord, help us to trust you. Not in theory, not apply this verse to everybody else. Help us individually to trust you with all our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, without question, you guys probably already know this, but without question, hold on, let me lube up here. Without question, probably one of the greatest movies of all time, without question, is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Am I right? Now, there's probably, and I realized this morning when I was thinking about this, there's a generation coming up right now, maybe some of you are sitting here like, what's Raiders of the, huh? And to you, I say, shame. No, not to the kids, to you parents. For not educating, no, I'm just kidding. You do need to educate them on that. Cover their eyes when the skin on their face melts off and all that stuff. But anyways, one of the greatest movies of all time, hands down, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And one of the reasons that Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of the greatest movies of all times is because it has one of the best movie characters of all times, Indiana Jones, right? We don't talk about the fourth Indiana Jones movie. It doesn't count. It was a waste of time. But man, that original Raiders of the Lost Ark. And one of the best quotes from one of the best movies, from one of the best movie characters of all times has to be, when in that intense moment when Miriam is looking at Indy, and he looks at her, kind of cocks his head a little bit and says, trust me. Just trust me. And he's got that little smirk on his face as if to communicate, I've got, one, something up my sleeve, and two, I got this totally under control. Which, by the way, in the movie proves to be completely wrong. He's got nothing out of control. It's like, trust me, you're right. And she has trust issues with Indy for a reason. We'll get off the movie now. Here, that may just be a movie quote, and we all know it or have heard it or whatever. We've had people say that to us, trust me. But here's what I want to say very simply this morning. I was very serious when I said earlier that I really feel like the Lord has a specific word for us this morning. And I think it is the Lord saying to us this morning, trust me. Would you trust me? Not with a smirk, but certainly with all things under control. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm not going to like pull out a surprise application at the end. I'm giving you the application right now. And you have like the next 30 minutes to think about it. I believe the Lord is whispering to some in a general way of reminder, but to others very specifically this morning. I want you to trust me with all of your heart in your current circumstance. And I believe that this can be truly a life-changing word from the Lord for you if you'll grab onto it. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to break down those four verses. I have a four-point outline for you guys. It's not hard to pick out. You can make this outline. Your kindergartner could have made this outline. We're going to look at four things. Number one, for your notes. Number one, we're going to look at what to do. Number two, we're going to look at what not to do. Number three, we're going to look at how to do what to do. And number four, we're going to look at what he'll do. Got it? What to do, what not to do, how to do what to do, and what he'll do. A lot of doing going on. Let's get into this. First of all, number one, what to do. This is the premise of what he's saying here. This is the whole gig, the whole thing he's trying to say. He says, number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the statement, the command statement that Solomon, or the Holy Spirit really through his pen, is telling us. It's a command. It's a verb. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust. What does the word trust mean? Again, this is I'm being very generic this morning, and I don't apologize for it. Not a lot of frills. I'm just going to lay it out. What does the word trust mean? Well, my handy companion dictionary.com defines trust as, listen, reliance on integrity, strength, ability, and surety of the person or the thing. So you're relying upon, you're having confidence in the integrity, strength, ability, or surety of the thing or person in which you're trusting. Does that make sense? You're putting confidence in them. You're basically saying in it or them. You're saying, I trust implicitly the strength, the integrity, whatever the case may be, of this thing or this person that is wanting me to trust them. That's what trust is, okay? But here's the thing. We're to trust with all of our hearts. With all of our hearts. Now, that's another way we would put it this way. We're to trust wholeheartedly as opposed to what? Half-heartedly, right. Trusting half-heartedly does not work real well. I can remember a few years back, I had an opportunity with Chris, not Womack, I almost said Chris Womack, Chris Showerman. Many of you guys know Chris Showerman over at Gateway Community Church. He's the pastor over there, and he's a lot older than you think he is. I say that in love. And what I mean by that is this. He's crazy. The man is crazy. He's old and crazy, and in a good way. And this is a compliment. I'm in no way tearing the guy down at all. I would say this with him right here. In fact, I'm sure you'll go tell him that I said this anyway. But a few years back, he said, Jason, me and my son, we're going to go skydiving. You want to go skydiving? And I was like, well, let me pray about it. Yes, I do. I want to go skydiving. And then I got clearance from my wife, and I went skydiving. You know, by the way, as an aside, you know what the scariest thing about skydiving is? The paperwork you fill out before you go skydiving. Because they clear themselves of any possible accident. If you impale yourself on a fence post, that's not our fault. Initial here, you know, and it's like, you know, 27 pages of things like that. You're like, maybe I don't want to go skydiving. But what was interesting is that you can't like halfway trust your parachute, right? You're in. You're all in. And not only that, I was a little turned off, by the way, if you've ever gone skydiving. I was a little turned off that I had to have a guy with me. I had to go tandem. What that means is you strap on all this stuff, and you're like, I got a parachute. I don't need a dude with me, right? And there's something in us dudes that don't like being strapped to other dudes. And it was weird because, like, at first, I'm like, you know, we're getting on the plane. They, like, hook in, and you're like, this guy is, like, right there. And you're like, okay, this is kind of awkward and weird. And, you know, you get into the plane, you know, and you're, like, on the plane, and they don't have seats. They have, like, these rows that you sit on. You're all lined up. And I'll tell you what. That plane took off, and I'm like, dude, cinch up. Come on, let's go. Let's do this. I mean, I love that guy. I was putting him like, I trust this man with every, is that as tight as you can make that? Come on, buddy, let's get close. You're like, my life is in this guy's hands. You better know what you're doing, you know? I trusted that guy wholeheartedly because I knew that, man, this guy's got the experience. I trust the integrity of this guy and of this equipment and all this stuff. You guys get the point. But the point is that here's what the Lord is telling us to do. He's saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not half-heartedly, not partially, but with all your heart. And you might say, well, wait a minute. I've got some trust issues. It's a popular term nowadays. I've got some trust issues. I'll tell you what, so do I. In fact, I'm almost to an age where some people would consider getting old. Some immature people would consider that. Older. But I will say this. the older I get, and I don't think I'm old, but I think the older I get, I've lived enough life to know that the longer you live, the more reason you have to have trust issues, right? You know why? Because you trust in things and you trust in people that are fallible. You trust in things and you trust in people that continually don't follow through or let you down. And people carry that over. And it's interesting that, you know, I don't know if I can trust the Lord with all my heart. But let me just kind of put this into a little bit of perspective, okay? Notice I skipped over a part. I said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I emphasized trust and I emphasized with all your heart. But really the operative word in that whole thing is trust the Lord with all your heart. We're not, he's not just saying trust everybody and trust and just have this general, let's all just hold hands, kumbaya, just trust. And, you know, he's saying, put your trust in the Lord. Now, I want you to just glance down at your Bibles for a sec. Look at verse 5 where it says, trust in the Lord. And you notice the word Lord there is in all capital letters. And there's significance to that. You probably know this by now. It's significant. It's significant that it's not just a capital L with a lowercase O-R-D, because that would probably be the word Adonai, which is a great word. It's a great word because he is. He's our Adonai. He's our Lord. But it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means that the way that the word Lord there is being used in the original language is it's actually referring to the name of God. Trust in the Lord. Now, we don't necessarily, some people do, but in our culture, we don't necessarily put a lot of emphasis on the names that we pick out. We might, you know, have a favorite name or we want to name our kid a Bible name. But in Bible times, in that culture, for sure, a name not only spoke to identify a person, a name spoke to the character of that person, who they were. And this is the name, or the closest thing we have, I should say, to the name of God. We literally don't know how to pronounce the name of God, because this name, we would say Jehovah or Yahweh, comes from Exodus chapter 3. Do you guys remember that? We were reminded of Exodus 3 on Thursday night by Ed, if you guys were here. One of our missionaries from Africa was speaking on this text. In Exodus chapter 3, when familiar story, you guys remember the burning bush incident? And Moses goes over, checks it out. God speaks to Moses through this burning bush. Moses, at 80 years old now, is being spoken to by God. And God says, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people Israel. I want you to deliver them. And you know, there's a lot that goes on in the calling of Moses and in that chapter. But one of the most significant things that takes place in that chapter is that Moses basically complaining, trying to weasel out of the call of God. You ever done that? It didn't work too good. He's basically like saying, Lord, when I go to Egypt and I go to my brethren and I say, hey, you know, the God of your father sent me, they're going to say, who is he? And what do I tell him, God? That's basically how the conversation went down. And Moses was told by God, tell him this, I am that I am, I sent you. What's very significant about that is God revealed, listen, God told Moses his name. It's my name, Mo. I am that I am. Now, to me, that doesn't sound like a name. That sounds like a sentence fragment. I am that I am. I am that I am means the existing one. The great I am. He is what? Everything. He is the God. Listen, the point I'm trying to make, and we could spend all month on this one point if we wanted to. The point I'm trying to make is when the Lord says to you and to I, trust in the Lord with all your heart, when the Bible says that to us, trust in the Lord, it's not some willy-nilly, oh, just trust people, trust him, trust her, trust that. He's saying, you put your trust in the Lord, Yahweh, the God who spoke and created the world, the all-knowing, all-power, all-present, all-powerful, all-present God of creation, our Savior, the one who is, who was, who is, and will ever be, the most powerful one there is. Amen? He is saying, trust in him. Isn't it ridiculous that I'll trust some dude I've never met with my life to jump out of an airplane at 10,000 feet, but I'm like, I don't know, God, if I can trust you with my power bill. I mean, you're only God. You only have power over everything. Do you understand the logic? This is so logical. But we're like, but we have trust issues. I don't know if I can. You're telling me to trust God with all my heart? And by the way, what are we supposed to trust God with all our heart for? Well, I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit, but look at verse 6. It says, in all your ways. The word all is a really interesting word. It means all. It means everything. It's a big umbrella. It covers a lot of stuff, right? So here's what basically he's saying. Trust the Lord with all your heart in everything in your life. Guys, we are to trust God with all our heart for everything in all of our lives. And isn't it ridiculous if we just stop for a moment to think, I will trust an airplane pilot. I will trust the cook at that restaurant. I will trust, you know, I will trust that person. I'll trust this person. I'll trust a doctor to put me under sleep and cut on me. But I won't trust the God who spoke the universe into existence with a little thing like a power bill or a relationship, which is not a little thing. Or you fill in the blank, and we'll get to the more of the application later, but you're beginning to understand what this is about. We're not just being told to trust in a program or trust in some, you know, religion. We are told to trust in the Lord God of the universe. Amen? The Lord of the universe. So that's what the first to do is. What do we do? He was saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart, every bit. And you might, again, and let me just kind of, this will make a nice segue into the next point. Going back to what I said earlier, you might say, well, even in that, I have trust issues. See, I would tell you, we're not asking you to trust in things and whatever that are fallible. I'm asking you, the Bible, not me, is asking us, telling us to trust in the Lord. And I would add to that, the Lord, the one who has never lied to us. People have lied to you. God's never lied to you. The God who's never let us down. Has anybody ever let you down? On this side of the room, there's three people. Anybody here ever been let? Do you guys live the same life? Do you guys suck the same air I suck? We, every day. And ever been let down by a politician? Or your boss? Or your parents? Or yourself? I mean, we've all been let down. Have you ever been lied to? Ever had bought something that promised it was going to be the best thing ever? Like my sunglasses I bought a couple weeks ago, and they just broke yesterday. I'm so bummed. Stuff lets us down. Stuff breaks. And you might say, yeah, but you know what? I know what you're saying. I know your point. But God has let me down. And I would say to you, no, he hasn't. Yes, he has. He allowed this to happen in my life. And I would say to you, respectfully, no, God hasn't let you down. And no, God has never lied to you. And no, God has never not come through. He may not have come through in the way you wanted or the way you expected. And so many people have trust issues with God simply because God didn't perform the way they expected or wanted him to. But that does not make him any less God or any less faithful. The problem is not with God. And I say this respectfully because I know it touches on deep issues. The problem's us. If there's a glitch somewhere, it's not with God. It's with our understanding of what he's doing in our circumstances. It's that we had an improper response to what he allowed to happen. That's the real issue. Well, that leads me to the next point. He says, well, the first one was, it's real easy. Outline, what do you do? Here's what we're to do. This is the whole point. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean. Oh, excuse me. That was point number two. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Point number two. Don't lean on your own understanding. See, this is why a lot of people don't trust the Lord. And again, we have to kind of stop and just pump the brakes a little bit and think about this logically. I don't know if I can trust the Lord because I don't understand what's happening. As if our understanding of what's happening in our lives is paramount to the fact that if we have the understanding, then we can trust the Lord. Does that make sense? Guys, how much do you understand anyway? About anything. It's silly. It's so easy to trust when you understand. There's no faith in that, right? And this is what we want from God. Okay, fine, God, I'll trust you. But I got a few little stipulations. Number one, you tell me exactly what you're doing and exactly the time in which you're going to do it, through whom you're going to do it, through whom, and I want an email with updates. You know, it's like, I'll trust you if you lay it all out in the open for me. It doesn't work like that, does it? We're called to walk by faith. Three times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. It's in the same way. Why doesn't he do that? Well, let me ask you this. Do you always explain to your three-year-old the ins and outs of why you're telling them not to do something? Or do you just say, don't run out in the street, okay? Because a truck might come and bash your head in and I'll have to scrape you up with a flathead shovel. We don't say that, right? That was gross. I'm not going to say that second service. I'll use dog or something. We don't always explain to a three-year-old, they can't understand all the ins and outs. And guys, do you know that we're way less than three-year-olds compared to God's understanding of stuff? We think we know so much about life. We don't know jack squat. God knows everything. And God, in his infinite wisdom and infinite everything, says to us, because of who I am, can you trust me? Isn't that what we say to our little kids? Why? Because daddy said so. And there comes a point where you just have to trust daddy. And guys, there's a point where we just got to trust daddy because of who he is. Amen? Not with our understanding. Not with our understanding. It's easy to trust when you understand everything. The challenge for us is not to base our trust upon whether or not we get what's going on. Don't answer out loud, but let me ask you right now. In your life right now, what is the thing that has got you bewildered? You don't understand why. You don't see how. You're struggling with because you don't understand. That is probably the thing this morning that God is telling you to trust him with. We'll get to that a little bit more. Thirdly, we've looked at what to do. We're to trust the Lord with all of our heart. We look at what not to do. Don't lean on your own understanding. And I would just kind of, as an addition to that, just say, this is an understatement. Our understanding is so limited. And God's understanding is so, so infinite. In fact, before I move on from that point, let me just give you a verse, another familiar one, but write it down in your notes. I won't have time to get too much into it here, but it's Isaiah 40:28. A lot of you guys know this verse, where Isaiah says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, same word, Yahweh, is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint, he does not grow weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. I take so much comfort in that, you have no idea. I don't understand God, but he would say, I do. Trust me. Amen? Thirdly, we looked at what to do, trust in the Lord, what not to do. Don't lean on your understanding. And third, because then this gets real practical. Okay, well, trust the Lord. It's a real blanket statement. How do I trust the Lord? I think verse 6 this has been one of the most key verses in my life, guys. In all your ways, acknowledge him. We already looked at the in all part, but let's see it again. In all your ways. The word ways there just means paths. It means your manner of life. It means as you go through life, in everything in your life, acknowledge him. Different translations translate that word acknowledge differently. I think the NIV says submit to him. I'm sure the word includes that meaning. Different translations mean, you know, hit it from different angles. But the word itself is based on the idea of knowledge, like make known to God. I like to think of it in this way. In all your ways, bring God into it. In every decision, bring God into it. In everything, little or big, bring God right into the middle of it. And I want to give you three sub-points for point number three, and I would jot these down. Number one, and this is not exhaustive. These are more like observations that are connected to this. How do we acknowledge God in all that we are doing? How do we actively trust God? What does that look like pragmatically? I think this idea of acknowledging God in all of our ways includes these three things. Number one, I think it includes communication. Here's what I mean by that. First of all, the word acknowledge means to make known. So the idea is in anything you come up against, you don't understand, you need help with whatever, you make it known to God. Psalm 62:8 says this. You can jot that down. 62:8 says, and I want to read these. I'm doing this purposefully. I want you to hear them. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. Philippians chapter 6, verse 7. I use this verse all the time in counseling. It says this: do not be anxious about anything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. This is the point I want to make on this subpoint. Acknowledging God in all our ways so that we can trust Him, I think, includes communication with God. Did you catch that? Psalm 62:8. Hey, pour out your heart before the Lord. Philippians 4, let God know what you're wanting from Him. Now, didn't we just say, like, 3 minutes ago that God knows everything? Are you guys tracking with me? Why do I need to let God know? Well, I got news for you. You're not informing Him of anything. You're not informing. Do you know that when you're like, God, I struggled today with lying. He's like, what? I had no idea. You know, Lord, I'm a little short on our rent this month. You're kidding me. After you got paid, right? I mean, He knows. We're not informing Him of anything. Well, then why in the world does the Bible say tell Him? Because we have to go back to this whole thing. It's about relationship, guys. We have a relationship with the God of the universe who chose the idea of a father figure for us. He's our father, and like any father, He wants His kids to come and talk with Him. He's not concerned as much about what we need as about the communication, the relationship. There's no need that is too big for God to handle, amen? I mean, let's just put that out on the table. We have to understand that there's nothing in your life too big for God. There's nothing in my life too big for God. But He wants us. How ridiculously awesome is that? God of the universe is interested. Do you guys understand that by now God has seen it all? Oh, shocker, you're short on your rent. Like, I've never seen that one. Can you have something new for me? A challenge, maybe? No. This can only mean one thing. He cares about us. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. Amen? I think acknowledging God is you come to something that you need to trust Him in, and you say, Lord, this is exactly what I'm going through. It involves communicating, bringing Him in the loop, we might say. Secondly, committing it to Him. Communicating with Him and committing it to Him. Let me again purposefully read some verses to you. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says this: commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. He will act. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, I already referenced it, says, casting your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. All three of those words, whether it's the New Testament version of casting or the Old Testament version of, committing, all have the same idea and definition, and it's the word to roll. Anybody say, huh? Not a roll like you eat at dinner. It means to roll, and it means to roll something heavy, and it means to roll something heavy off of you and onto something else. And the Lord is saying, I want to hear about it, and then I want you to take what you're all worked up about, and I want you to roll it onto Me. Your shoulders aren't broad enough, and you're not strong enough, but He would say to you, and He'd say to me, but Mine are, and I am. Roll that anxiety. Tell Me about it, and then get rid of it. Commit it to Me. Take it off your shoulders and put it onto Mine, He would say. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Isn't that what He says to us? Learn of Me. Take My yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and light. So guys, in everything, we communicate it with God. We bring Him into the loop. We commit it to God. We roll it off of our shoulders onto His. And then thirdly, I really desperately looked for another C word. We communicate, we commit, but we'll just have to go with a different consonant. We rest. This is the key right here. You rest. See, I'm really good at bringing God into the loop, telling Him what I need, giving it to Him, and then taking it right back from Him. The Bible says in Philippians 4, I already read it, but it's all kind of tucked in there. Don't be anxious for anything. Everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your heart, mind, and Christ Jesus. See, one of the things that we have to do, and I'll reference again, Psalm 37, verse 7 says, be still, therefore, and wait patiently for Him. That word be still can also be translated, and it is translated in the NASB as rest. See, this is the part, this is where the faith part kicks in. We've allowed God into the loop. We've given him our burden, the thing that we don't understand, the thing that we need help in, and then we leave it with him, and then we do the unthinkable. We don't stress out about it. And we actually believe that he'll do something. Now, asterisk, he won't always do, like I said earlier, what we want him to do, or in the timing we want him to do it, but be guaranteed that he will make your path straight. He will act. He will include, because this is a promise, ladies and gentlemen. This is a promise. Amen? So, what to do? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What not to do? Don't lean on your own understanding. How do we do what to do? In all your ways, in everything, and that includes everything, acknowledge the Lord. Bring him into the loop, which includes communication, committing it to him, and resting in it. In him. Amen? And then fourthly, what he will do, and I've already read it at the end of verse 6 there, it says, and he will make straight your paths. And the idea there is that, the picture is that he'll remove the obstacles from your path. And it carries the idea, the connotation, that you'll end up where you need to be. That's the idea. You'll make it to your destination. The Lord is going to help you. The Lord is going to meet you. The Lord's not going to leave you hanging, we might say. Amen? That's it, guys. That's the sermon. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So the question is right now, and I warned you at the beginning, listen, this may be a general reminder for some of us, but I am convinced with all my heart that there are some in this room right now that need to not just hear this word, but to apply it to your life. Because you are involved in something right now that you are stressing out about. I mean that's real easy for me to say that because that just includes life. But you, even as I was preaching, know that this is for you. And your heart is pounding, and you know, like, the Lord is saying, this is for you. And it's scary because this is what it means, and I know that this is touching on what we talked about last week, but maybe the Lord wasn't done teaching us this. It means we have to let go of our control. If we're trusting the Lord, that means we can't trust ourselves to be in control of everything all the time, right? We have to say, Lord, I don't understand how this thing's going to work out in my marriage. And it's way too big for me. I commit it to you. I have no idea how I'm going to make it through with these health issues, Lord. But I'm going to trust you. And this is a hard lesson, guys. Trusting doesn't mean we get what we want all the time. I know I keep coming back to this. Here's what we're trusting when we trust the Lord with all our heart. We're trusting that whatever he decides is best for us. That's best for us. Because he, unlike some of our earthly fathers, is a loving father who always has our best interest in mind. What, rhetorically, what do you need to trust the Lord with today? What is the burden you came in with this morning? What is the thing that you don't understand? What is the thing that is grating on you? What is the challenge that lays before you this week? I believe the Lord would free many of us this morning from full-on anxiety attacks and trying to handle everything and manipulate it and with our strength. And he would just say, trust me. Not with a smirk, but definitely in complete control. Trust the Lord. Amen? So what needs to happen is some of you guys need to act on that. Amen? Father God in heaven, we thank you that we have this amazing, if we stop to think about it, word from you that we can trust you. And it doesn't take us long to logically think, well, yeah, you are trustworthy, but what an amazing thing that you invite us to trust you. That you are wanting us to bring to you the things that are too big for us. That you're wanting that interaction with us. How grateful we are for that, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, that my brothers and sisters that are here that are overwhelmed, that are at their wits' end and stressing out and not sure how things are going to work out here and there, that, Lord, they would be crazy enough to trust you, Lord, to just take you at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to underscore this whole idea of is the Lord trustworthy? I want to read to you a verse out of Romans chapter 8, verse 32, that says, well, I'll start in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he also not with him graciously give us all things? Here's my point. I don't know if I could trust God. He gave his son to die for your filth and for my filth, for my sin. If that's not enough demonstration of the love and trustworthiness of our Father, then you're never going to be convinced. Amen? How can I trust the Father? He gave us his son. He gave us his son. Amen? And before we go, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. Guys, if you're here today, you're visiting with us, you came with a friend or whatever, maybe listening online or whatever, and you're not sure you're even a Christian, the first thing you need to trust the Lord with is your life, is with salvation. The Bible clearly teaches that every man, woman, boy, and girl is a sinner. And we joke about sin in our society, but I'll tell you, sin is not a joke. The Bible says that every one of us are natural born sinners. We've all sinned individually, fallen short of God's perfect standard of righteousness. Thus, we can't have a relationship with God. We are separated from God by our sins. The Bible goes on to say, but God's, oh, and I should mention, the wages of sin is death, separation. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes, the idea of belief is trust. Whoever believes with all their heart in him and what he's done will be saved. They won't perish, they'll be saved. Amen? And God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. The first act of trust that any man, woman, boy, or girl needs to do is to trust that what Jesus did on the cross was for them and was enough and was finished. And if you believe that it was for you and you ask him in your heart, the Bible says you will instantaneously be born again. The Spirit of God will come into your life. Amen? If you haven't done that today, I cannot guarantee you another opportunity to do that, but I guarantee right now you have an opportunity to do that. And I have lived long enough to know that you don't know what happens tomorrow. And we have had people at our church enjoy church, have fellowship, and leave, and as sad as it is, get in car accidents and die. You don't know if you have another breath. You must make a decision for Jesus, whether it's in the affirmative or the negative, but you cannot ignore what God has done for you through Christ. Accept him today. Accept him today. Amen. He loves you. He's brought you here to tell you you can trust me. Amen.